Thank you, praise team. Thank you for all the rest of you. Thank you for your presence this morning. We're here to worship God. One of the things that we do when we worship God is to take care of some missionary things. And one of the missionary things for us is the Shiloh Bible Conference. In a little bit, Mike is going to come, and we've met him here before, but he's brought the rest of the leadership team up there. He'll introduce them and take care of that. But in the meantime, I've asked one of the other team members, because Asher Baganti is a team member. She's been a cabin leader at camp for a couple years. She's one of the Timothys of that program of discipleship the camp has, which I think is fantastic. It really is. But I've asked her to come and share a particular testimony of something that took place in her life in the cabins in the last couple of camps, last couple snow camps. So when Asher's done, Mike will come up and introduce the team, and we'll just go on from there. Asher, it's your turn. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi. So a few weeks ago, there was a snow camp. There's actually two in a row, but for the second one, I had a group of eight girls who did not want to talk to me. They ignored me, they wouldn't talk to me, and the first night, when I asked a question, I got zero answers. It was just like crickets. So for the next night, we have a prayer time now for the snow camp, and during that prayer time, instead of actually doing a normal prayer, what we did is I had them answer five questions. We were going over Jonah in the lessons, so what I did is I said, Jonah ran from God, do you, was the first question. My second question was, Jonah ran into God, have you ever done that? My third question was, Jonah ran with God, do you? And my last question was, Jonah tried to run God, have you done that? And so that was my five questions. And so I asked the Lord, like, what do you want me to do through this? And he gave me another question, and I'm like, I don't really want to put that question. But I did anyways, because he told me to. And that question was, what is something in your life that you have a question about to do with the Bible, with Jesus, or just something for your personal life? And I told them to write that question at the very bottom of the page so we could rip it off, and I would try and answer those questions in devotions. And so I got eight different questions, and I had an hour and a half to answer them all. And a lot of them were really hard, complicated questions, but in that, like, I was like, God, why the heck did you make me do this? But so actually in the end, I was really glad I did, because there was one or two girls whose questions I felt like they needed to be answered. Like, one of them asked, why are there hard things in life? Like, why does God allow hard things to happen to certain people? And I got to answer that question, and just different questions like that that they had, but they weren't willing to share when it was them saying it. But when it was just whoever said it, they didn't know who said what. They were more willing to talk to me, and so I was just really glad I got to do that. And yeah.
Good morning. So I came a few months ago. It was great to be here. I got to share my testimony, introduce my family to you guys. Actually, that time it was just my son and I, because my wife was with my other two daughters who were sick. But we're all here this week. We're excited that we're all healthy in here. My wife's over here, Emily. She's pregnant with our fifth baby, due in April 12th, most likely end of March. But we're glad to be here. This time we came around, we brought our team, so I'm going to let them come up and introduce themselves to you. I'll talk a little bit about the progress in Shiloh and what we're doing and going from there, and then a short devotion at the end, as well as a building project that we have going on right now, just to share more of those updates with you. And so I've shared with you kind of our passion for growth and how we're looking to bring on many team members. And really grow and utilize God's property. And with that comes the need for more staff. So since then, we've got Jason McClanahan, our office manager, and his family came up last summer. Eric Kreider, our new facilities director, and his family moved in about a month ago. We're interviewing a program director and his wife on site here in on Saturday, next weekend. So we're really looking at really utilizing God's property to reach as many people for Christ. So with that, I'm going to have Jason McClanahan come up and introduce himself and his family as our office manager, and then Eric Kreider.
Good morning. How are you? Good. Hey, so my name is Jason McClanahan. I'm the office manager up at Shiloh Bible Camp. My wife is tired of the snow, so she's down in Arizona. She's making the trip back with her parents that are coming back. They're snowbirds down there, so they're making the trip back. And so my wife will be here tomorrow, so I'm sorry you can't meet her. But I'd like to introduce my kids to you. My daughter, 16 years old. It's Kylie. Go ahead and stand on up. And then my boy is 14-year-old, and it's Tyrone. He changed his name when we came up here. It used to be Ty. And he thought Tyrone sounded tougher and cooler. So you can call him Tyrone or Ty or whatever you want, but we gave him the name Ty, and he changed it. So that's who we are. And then Julie's my wife, and she's not here today. But anyway, I thought I'd give you a little idea of who I am, why I'm tied to Shiloh. Why we came up here, and just kind of the calling that we felt in our lives to be up here at Shiloh. It's cool to see all the pictures because these are our friends. To see these kids, to see Asher come up and speak, it's just amazing. These kids that go up and grow up through the Shiloh programs, go through the Timothy program, become summer missionaries. The maturity that she shows as she walks up here and just talks to you, it's just amazing to me. And it's a beautiful sight. It's a great thing to see. Most of the kids are crazy as can be, but we have a lot of fun. And Shiloh's a great place to talk about Jesus and to be able to ask a whole cabin of kids that you really don't know to ask any question in the world. I don't know if I would do it. Even if God told me to do it, I don't know. That'd be kind of tough. But, you know, to have her step up and show that maturity is amazing to me. So Garden Valley is a great place. You guys have one of our biggest Timothy programs here, which is awesome. And to be able to come and speak to you guys is a great privilege for me personally, and I'm glad to be here. Shiloh Bible Camp was my camp as a kid. I came here through all my elementary and junior high years. I came up to Shiloh. Spent a lot of time up there. I grew up in CUNA or in the Boise area, going to Ten Mile Community Church. And as a kid, our camp was Shiloh Bible Camp. So if you went to camp, a Christian Bible camp as a kid, you went to Shiloh Bible Camp. So we were privileged to come up here, spend a week or two up here, and just be a great fun time, a great time for spiritual, you know, to connect with other kids, to connect in a spiritual way and to be with them. So I know Shiloh Bible Camp from when I was just young. My wife is about 3 years younger than me. She went to Shiloh Bible Camp all through her years, even through, and I only say she's 3 years younger because I never met her at Shiloh, but I met her later, and her passion for Shiloh was amazing when I met her, and it was awesome to see, because even through all her college years, she would spend every summer up at Shiloh Bible Camp as a summer missionary. I didn't even know that was a thing at the time, but just to know and, you know, meet her and know and have that background and have that Shiloh tie was awesome. So as the years went by, we got married and had kids, and when my daughter was in third grade, we could not wait to send her up there. We knew how powerful and how important Shiloh was to our family and ourselves growing up, and to be able to share it with our kids as they grew up was a great opportunity for us. So we did. We sent the kids up to Shiloh. We've gone up and helped for years. They were looking for a new board member at Shiloh, or through 10 Mile to go to Shiloh as a board member. So they approached me because they knew that I really cared for Shiloh and cared for what was happening up there. So I became a board member. I was a board member for 5 years. That whole time, we were looking for different people to help out, different full-time missionaries, praying for different things. And one of those things was office manager. And I would pray for an office manager. After every meeting, I'd come home and tell Julie, hey, we're still looking. I'm praying for this office manager position. And it was one position that I kind of felt in my heart a long time ago, not that I was going to do it, which I ended up doing it. But it's something that I thought I could do. I was an operations manager for an electronics company in Boise at the time, and it was the best job in the world. And I thought, you know, I've really got it made. God's given me this blessing of this great job. And about 8 years into it, the job became really, really hard. It became a lot of work. I had to make decisions, a lot of decisions, whether I was going to commit to work or commit to family. And the whole thing kind of changed within there where it became, I would leave, you know, at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, sometimes I wouldn't see the kids before they went to bed. And it was a great job, but it was a hard job, and it was taking my life away, and it was taken. And I knew that God was working on my heart to say, hey, you need to do something else. You need to move, you know. And anytime I would get home, you know, before I just went to bed, I would spend time on the computer and look for another job, look for something else, because I know God was calling me to do something else. So in that time, it was around December of a couple years ago. It was around Christmas time when I was just putting in a ton of time and not seeing my family very much. God laid on my heart and told me that that job at Shiloh that I've been praying for 5 years is the one he wants me to fill. He wants me to go up there. And it was kind of a shock to me because I'm like, whoa, you know, you got to raise support. You need to do these things that I wasn't real comfortable in doing. But I really felt strong in my heart that God was telling me to do that. So that evening, it was probably 8, 9 o'clock at night, I text Julie from work and I said, hey, can you please stay up tonight? I've got something very important to talk to you about. Which, if you do that to your wife, apparently it concerns them. So, you know, phrase it differently if you're going to do that in your life. But my wife was very concerned, I guess, because normally my text is, hey, I'm not going to make it before you go to bed, so go to bed, you know. Don't wait up for me. But this one was, I really, really need to speak with you. Please wait up tonight. So I got home late that night, and Julie's like, well, what's going on, you know? And I said, God's calling me to take that office manager position up at Shiloh Bible Camp. What do you think? And she said, and I wrote it down so I don't mess it up. She said, I was thinking the same thing, and that's where we need to be. And I think if she would have told me anything else than that, we wouldn't have made it up last summer. So God was working on Julie, and God was working on me, and telling us that this is where we need to go. And I got kind of a hard head, so it takes a while, but I think it sunk in, and this is where I needed to go. So we worked hard getting our application in, getting approved last February, and starting to raise support so we could be up there last summer. So we bought a house up there. We've seen hundreds of blessings in our lives just since the time that I said yes to God. And I think he was working on us for a long time, trying to get me to the point where I would say yes. And to get me past, I got to raise support, I got to be a missionary. You know, it didn't seem like that's where God wanted me to be, but that's where he wanted me to be. And he was working on me to get me to that point. So since then, there's just been amazing blessings in our lives. There was a house we were looking at. And it was about $300,000, which was a lot more than I wanted to spend. But we did have some money in savings, and we figured maybe we could, you know, raise enough support so we could live in a house that big. And it seemed like that was the house for us. We were looking at it. It was about 8 miles off of camp, about probably 25-minute drive, actually, from where we were heading. And God shut the door on that house and told us no. That's not the house, you know. And there ended up being a lawsuit against the house and against, you know, and it got kind of ugly. So my realtor said, no, that's not your house. So She called us up, and Julie was not happy that we did not get the house that she had her heart set on. So we got a phone call from our realtor, and the realtor said, hey, I found the house. This is going to be the house, this next house. And Julie's like, no, I'm not going to go look it. I want to wait. I think we're rushing into it. I'm not sure what's going on. So a couple days go by, and we pray about, you know, where we need to be. And then I call up the realtor, and I said, hey, we can be up there this weekend. Let's take a look at it. We got in that house, and it was the perfect house. It's a mile off of camp. It takes 1 minute for me to get in my car and drive to camp. During the summer, when I'm not snowed in 10 feet, it takes 10 minutes to walk into camp. So it is the perfect place for us. It was fully furnished. So even before my family could move up, I could go up there and start working up at camp. So there's just blessing after blessing after blessing. One verse that kind of, that I've been grabbing onto these days is John 10:10. And this is Jesus speaking. So he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And I think about that, having life abundantly. And that's what God wants to give us. We were in a small group at the time when we were stepping out and applying to be a missionary. And we had this great, Bethany's her name. And she's just an amazing young lady in our group. And she told me this story she had heard years ago. And I think it talks about the abundant life. And she said, you know, she heard this story about this, you know, this person passes away and goes up to heaven. And they take the book out, you know, and it's a pretty good size book about the size of your hymnal or whatever, and talks about your life and reads through it and all the blessings you've got and all the things that have done. And then this guy looks up and sees this giant book. And it had that person's name on it. And they said, well, what about that book? And the story is that book would have been your life if you would have followed what God wanted you to do. So having an abundant life and being able to say yes and moving up to Shiloh and all the changes that were going, you know, I had to move my kids out of a school with all their friends and up to a school where they have no friends. They had to start all over and meet a lot of people and stuff. Was tough, especially for them. The move is probably the easiest for me, and we've seen blessings every single day through the camp, through times where we meet with you guys and meet with different people. And it's just amazing that God wants us to live such an abundant life, and that's kind of where we are. So anyway, that's kind of a little introduction about me and, you know, how I got up here. So last June is when I started, and it's been a whirlwind, you know, 8 months or whatever it's been. And it's been awesome. God's really blessed us. And times where we thought, man, how does this work? You know, how does this trial, you know, how do we get through this? And it's always whatever that is plus God makes it awesome. It makes it abundant life. It makes it an amazing time. So that's kind of what we're living, our abundant life. And yeah. Kylie said to me the other day when I was stressed out about something, she said, we're too blessed to be stressed. And I don't know where she gets that stuff. I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere. But anyway, it was just a nice phrase. But I'll introduce you to our newest person. Just started, I think, 4 weeks up at camp, Eric Kreider. And he's our new, what's your job? Facilities director. Is that all right? All right.
Like Jason said, my name is Eric Kreider. We moved here 4 weeks ago, tomorrow. February 4th is when we arrived at Shiloh from Indiana. So quite a long ways. We left on the 1st and took us 4 days to drive here. And so yeah, my wife is also not able to be here. She's in the snow with our 10-month-old daughter, who's been sick this week. And so she really wanted to be here, but chose to stay home and not have to take our daughter Quincy out when she doesn't feel good. And then we also have a second daughter on the way that'll be here end of June. And so, yes, our family's growing quickly, and we love it, and we're excited to be here. So yeah, I'm the facility director at camp, and so now my biggest job is removing snow, because like Jason said, there is, I don't know what the total snowfall is for the Donnelly area this winter, but it seemed to quadruple since we got here. And so they all are blaming us and saying, oh yeah, if you guys wouldn't have come until summer, that would have been nice, but no, they didn't say that. And so, but we like the snow, and so that's been my biggest job so far. But yeah, I'll be in charge of keeping up all the maintenance, all the upkeep on the buildings. We do have Michael explain when he gets back up here our building projects. And so I'm kind of part of the committees on that, and to see how God is growing Shiloh as far as the actual land that is there, but also through the staff. And so how we got here. Yeah, we have been married almost 2 years and knew from the time that we were married that we God wanted us to do missions work. We didn't know where. And so our biggest prayer was, God, we can go wherever, we can go whenever. You just have to show us where and tell us when. And so we got married and started looking at overseas missions with a couple different organizations. And I don't think we ever actually filled out applications, but talked to different representatives. And I know of at least two specific ones that came back and said, we'd like you to be married a year before you fill out an application and continue this process. And so hearing that twice, we're like, okay, maybe we should wait a year, and took it as God saying, hey, focus on your marriage, build a firm foundation there. And in that first year, we had our first daughter. So it turned out to be a huge blessing. But yeah, I worked at a paint store in Indiana, family business. And so, yeah, we just kind of waited and still had the prayer of whenever, God, we're open to go wherever, whenever you want us to. And so this summer, after we have been married over a year, we started talking more and saying, like, okay, like, if we we looked at a different organization overseas that dealt with human trafficking, and filled out the application, and were scheduled to have a phone call with a lady, and we got to talking, Lexi and I, my wife, and decided that, like, this isn't where our gifts would align with. I think we're trying too hard to force ourselves into something ministry-related instead of wait for what God has for us. And we said, I mean, we could probably do it, but it definitely wouldn't be the best fit with the gifts that God gave us. And so we told that organization no, and took time and prayed a lot and said, okay, God, where are our gifts and what do our gifts align with? We love kids and have, like, I know I've been to summer camp a lot as a kid and worked at one in Indiana for a summer, and definitely can see the fruit and the just the ability camp has to, that counselors and leaders can connect with kids on a spiritual level. And I think it's a special place that not a ton of other, you don't get a ton of other places where kids can get away and have swimming and canoeing and hiking and archery and all different things, but also to spend a time, to have specific times set aside to really invest in their spiritual life. And I think that's huge. I mean, I know it was big in my life, and I want to be able to pass that on. And so we started looking at different camps all over the country. We don't really like hot weather, so we didn't really look at any in the south, but we looked more towards the north. And so there's a website, an actual network conference called the Christian Camps and Conferences Association, that their website, you can fill out a job profile, attach your resume, a little bit about yourself, where your, what your gifts are, what do you have experience in. Different camps can go on and find you that way. And that's how Mike found us. He called us one night and was like, hey, we have this facilities director position available if you'd like more information and to fill out an application. And so he sent us more information, and we were like, this really would align with what God has been teaching us, what God has been showing us. And so we started the application process, and everything went so smoothly. We started that in August and were able to fly out for the September board meeting and get interviewed by the board of directors. And that was the first weekend, first full weekend in September, and they approved us then and went back home and started support raising. And so it's been a huge blessing. Like, I know Jason talked a lot about blessings of just finally being here. Since September, we've been looking forward to being here. And I know a big thing that my wife was like, no, you got to be present in the moment. You got to enjoy your life here too. But I, when February rolled around, was really thankful and excited to be on our way here. And so that's how God brought us here. And we're excited to see, we've been a part of the second snow camp. That was the weekend after we got here. We got here on a Monday, and that was the following weekend. But I know this coming weekend we have the Father-Son retreat. And we're excited just to be with more people and to meet more people and to be present at different retreats to where we can pour into people and support them and encourage them. And yeah, we're super excited for summer and the ability to pour into different kids and to meet. It's interesting because being the new people, I know Mike and Jason were both here last summer, and Kylie and Ty have been here multiple summers too. And so they talk all about these different people and all these different things, and I'm like, I don't know anybody. And so we're excited to put faces with names and to meet and to be here for the summer camps. And I know Crouch Community Church has been a supporter with us from September, and so it's just been a huge blessing. That's part of the reason why we're here. So I want to say a real heartfelt thank you for that. And I know my wife would echo that if she was here too. Like I said, she really was a little bummed this morning when she decided not to come. But yeah, we're just very thankful for the opportunity to be here and to share with you what God's doing through us.
I'll share a little bit about what's going on at the camp. Since I last came and shared, I spoke on who we were, the trials my wife and I and our family had been going through, a lot of the deaths in our family and a community that we were involved in. And through James and what he's been teaching us and through his trials makes us stronger. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about using our gifts and talents and so forth. But before I get into that, we had part of what we want to do with the camp is we really want to use God's facility, and I keep saying that because that really is the focus of our camp. We've gone from our 9 camps to 19 camps, retreats, activities. So if I can get all the guys in here to raise your hand real quick. We have a men's and father-son retreat this weekend, so I expect to see you there. All the women, raise your hand. We have a mother-daughter and women's retreat 3 weekends from now, so I expect to see you guys there. So these are just 2 of the new ones that we have coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Whenever you're doing a new retreat, new activity, if we get 5, it's a blessing, just because those are 5 people that we wouldn't have had before. But we've already got 11 signed up for the father-son men's retreat, and 19 women signed up for the women mother-daughter retreat. The father-son, we have a speaker coming up from Boise. He was in Colorado. He's a true cowboy, I guess, so that's kind of cool. A pastor out of Boise, so it's going to be a fun retreat just to have a lot of free time in the afternoon to kind of hang out, rest, relax, spend time with family members. But yeah, we have these 2 retreats coming up. We have our new pastoral retreat for those in ministry in late April, early May. It's April 29th, May 2nd, and I think I told you guys about that last time, so I hope you encourage your pastor to come. I know he's not here today. I'm hoping he feels better. We got a call from Jack on Friday saying, hey, our pastor's out with kidney stones. Can you come on Sunday and do a devotional? So we said, sure. So it worked out really well. But I hope that he's feeling better and can come too. It's a free retreat so that he can come get rejuvenated so that he can continue to pour into you guys. And our same thing with our father, daughter, mother, son retreats in September, and all of our summer camps, our discipleship camp, our new young adults retreat. We just had a young adults retreat in the beginning of January. This past snow camp that we just had, we had 41 campers at each camp. And the second camp, we had 10 campers make a recommitment to Christ. One camper make a first-time confession. And I'm going to show you guys a video here in a second. It's a really cool video. Have you guys ever heard the song Big Fish? It's about Jonah. It's a really kind of cool, creative one. You can look out for Asher. You can see her in the video kind of hiding behind the sound booth. You might be able to see her head pop up at one point. Dimitri's having fun. Ty and Kylie, can you guys stand up real quick? They get a little crazy in there, so it's just fun to watch this video, but it really shows the true heart of our campers. It's about a 3-minute video. If you know the song, feel free to sing along. It's not the best video, per se. I took it with my cell phone. But it's still cool. It really captures the heart of our camp and what we're really about. We're about the kids having fun and learning about Jesus at the same time, and with Jesus being the priority. So we can go ahead and show that video real quick. Accepted Christ at the end of this camp. I think that's the right boy. This just kind of really sums up what we do at the camp. There's a lot. It's all about Christ there. Our summer activities, our archery, our riflery, everything we do, we connect it to the Bible somehow, because that is why we're there. So I'm going to read for you guys real quick from Matthew chapter 25. If you can turn there real quick, Matthew 25 verses 14 and 19.
and I'm reading from the NIV today. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more, but the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Last time I came, I really spoke on the church and the members of the church being missionaries in your communities, and God calls us to be missionaries wherever we are. Today, I thought this was the perfect passage. This is what I was coming in, going to share about, and how God has called Jason, Eric, and I and our families to Shiloh to kind of give up our lives from what we were doing to wholeheartedly follow Christ, because that's where he's called us. There's some projects I'm going to talk about in a second, but I think it was Janet Thompson. Did I get your name right? Janet Thompson shared about the babies, and it's critical. God has called us to use our talents to serve him. Our life here is short, whether that be serving babies, whether that be serving our communities, whether that be serving the homeless. So we all have resources that God has given us. Most of us here have cars. That is a resource. Most of us here have jobs if we own a business. If you own a multi-million-dollar business, please talk to me afterwards. We can talk. But seriously, we all own stuff that God has entrusted to us to put to use to serve him. Whether that be Nancy's our grandmother for our 3rd and 4th and 5th and 6th grade camps in the summer, where she comes and just loves on the kids and uses her resources, her talents, her abilities to serve God. We get cooks from this church. We get skills teachers. Are Nancy and Connie here today? I don't believe so. I think they're in Arizona. Yeah. Nancy and Connie come and serve by teaching our puppets class. People use their talents to serve God in the way that he calls. And so last time it was be a missionary in community. This time I want to send you guys away encouraging you guys to use what God has given you, to not sit around and let sin run rampant in this country, to not let sin be not countered. It is our job to counter it and teach against it, and train the young ones coming up behind us. I don't know why God called me to Idaho, but I love it here. I love serving the Shiloh kids and the Shiloh community. So with that said, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. One of the things that Jack wanted me to bring up was we are doing a fundraiser for our building. Last time I talked about our gymnasium, we're doing a short project. Last week we were at a church, and one of the questions was, what's the hardest thing that you've had to do at Shiloh? And I really think the hardest thing I have to do is ask for funds for my team, for myself, and for the camp. But I do it anyways as the director because that's what my role calls for. We are blessed with a team of Masons coming to the camp on May 1st. I want to say it's 5 families who are retired. They travel the country serving. So they say, we'll come to your camp and work on your building project for you if you can get the cinder blocks. So we said, okay, we've got a couple months to raise $6,000 to $10,000, $6,000 for the blocks, another couple $1,000s for the mortar and the doors to put the blocks in place. And so we're at $2,689 towards that goal of $6,000 for all the blocks. So I do ask if you would like to give. This is a very clear donation that 100% of what you give, $5 buys a block. If we can get to 1,200 blocks, that pays for most of the project. So there is a cinder block in the back afterwards if you'd like to give towards the project. The money doesn't go towards abortion, thank God. It doesn't go towards anything else. It doesn't even go towards administrative costs. Our camp doesn't have administrative costs when you give to missionaries. Everything you give goes towards the project you designate it to. And so this project, we have till May 1st to raise the funds, and so if you would like to buy a cinder block for the camp, we'd greatly be appreciated. I know some of you guys already have, and as a camp, we want to say thank you for that. It's truly blessing the support you've given my family and I, the Criders, the McClanahans, the Shiloh community, by sending up your community to volunteer at the camp. It's really appreciative, and we wouldn't be able to do what we do without you. If you'd ever like to come up because you'd like to get away from, normally I say get away from the snow, but you guys have snow here too. And yes, we do blame the Criders for it. When they left Indiana, they were leaving the polar vortex. Snow followed them the whole way here, and then we got like 4 feet of snow after they arrived. So the snow is really the Criders' fault. We'd love to have you continue to partner with Shiloh in any way you can. We'd love for you to come visit. Now that we have 3 full-time families living there, if you just need to get away from the snow to come to more snow, you're welcome to come. Just be closer to McCall. Nice little retreat. We'd love to have you visit. We'd love to have you stay. We'd love to put God's camp to use, supporting his community. So thank you for having us. Thank you, Janet. What you said was very touching. I mean, it tied in perfectly well. I mean, this is what God put on my heart yesterday to share about, and this is clearly on the hearts of this community as well, too. So thank you for having us.
Oh, I believe I'm supposed to call up for one last song. Is that correct?
Don't worry, I'm not singing a solo. Did you please stand? There was a video that we did a few months ago that we tried once, a Chris Tomlin video that we'll ask, you'll kind of get it as you see it, but we'll ask a question and then you answer it. You'll kind of understand it as it goes.
Does our God
Father in heaven, we thank you for this service today. We thank you for the fact that you are worthy, and we pray that you'll take us out and help us to enhance your worth with the things you've called us to do. We pray for the camp. We pray for the building project. We thank you for the words we've heard today. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget coffees and cookies.